I've got to say, the 1987 crash, right, that looms large for a lot of New Zealanders and also, you know, just to make a big, broad, problematic generalization, but a lot of New Zealanders of your generation. I remember, you know, speaking about my work, I've been doing this now for 10-ish years. When I first started, you know, writing about shares, writing about investing, I think there was a big change in attitudes around 2020. People got much more interested in it. And I think there is more knowledge about it now. But when I first started writing about it, I could guarantee if I wrote about shares investing or taking your KiwiSaver into growth, I would get at least one, usually more, email being like, this is so irresponsible. How can you recommend it? It's a casino. Don't you know about the 1987 crash? And it really loomed large for a lot of people, right? And I think it particularly, I mean, the 87 crash, that was global, but it particularly hit New Zealand. New Zealand took a long time to recover from it, more than the rest of the world. And yet now when I look at the financial world, I mean, the FMA, our money police, didn't exist then. We've got so much more regulation. We've got so many different safeguards. When I look at the money world now versus then, it's night and day for me. What about you? As someone who lived through it, does it still hold you back from investing a bit, or do you feel like it's a different environment, you're more comfortable now?
Oh, I think it's a completely different environment. And some of that is to do with a way better regulatory environment that we've got. I know regulation is very unfashionable at the moment, but good regulation is good regulation. That is entirely necessary. So you think about the crash, which was one thing, and that was global. But then you think about the failure of the finance companies not much later, and that was purely regulatory, you know. So, you know, people get motivated by greed quite quickly. We get motivated and get overexcited. And don't forget both of those events, it was before the internet. So the knowledge base was quite specialized then. You know, you either had to be in the industry or use a broker or just be, you know, incredibly risky, which again, go back to risk. You know, it's a different world. I think now there's no excuse for not knowing anything. The trick is keeping finding and holding people's attention, you know? And then you get into really interesting behavioral psychology, don't you? How do men take this information and do something with it? How do women view it? All this stuff. And then what motivates you to take action? You know, are you a planner? Are you a fly-by-nighter? What are you? And when it comes to money, the more we can demystify it and the more we can just put it in the bucket of things we need to look at, like brushing our teeth and getting dressed every morning and all that kind of stuff, the better it is. Except that for the other two things you do every day, and you don't have to look at your money situation every day. In fact, it's a really bad idea if you do.
Yeah, exactly. Automate, and then leave it alone.
That's it.
So now that you're in the job and you've been, as you say, you're in your second term, you've been pushing for some changes and trying to help people out on this front for a while. Is there anything that surprised you since coming in and now where you are? What's been a big surprise?
I think how simple the basic concepts are, right? So I came in and I was a bit scared of the finance industry and I was a bit scared of the complexity. And, you know, there are aspects of the industry that are incredibly, incredibly sophisticated and hard to understand, got all that. But for the ordinary person, the concepts of money and money management and financial well-being aren't that hard. So I've been quite intent on stripping most of that back. I've been very insistent on plain English around our space. We worked very hard at the commission to publish a glossary only a couple of years ago, which we encourage all financial institutions to use, that just simplifies and standardizes wording so that those people without a financial education can actually understand things. And, you know, the basic principles are quite simple. I just summarize them as best I can as spend less than you earn where it's humanly possible. First start. And that for some people is incredibly difficult. Some because they've got particular financial issues, but others because they just don't think.
Mm.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot that can go wrong with money, right? There's a lot that can go right, but there's a lot that can go wrong. So is there a big mistake that you see a lot of people make?
I think mostly that's around debt, right? There's good debt and there's bad debt. And generally speaking, a mortgage, for instance, is good debt because you've got an asset at the end of it. But the rising levels of debt are always a problem. And I think by now, pay rate has got a bit to answer here. It's one thing having a credit card where your debt's summarised. It's another when you've got half a dozen buy now, pay later accounts that all fall due. You know, what we know in our most recent research is that about a third of New Zealanders are worried about their level of debt and a bit higher if they've got mortgages. So that'll be about right. And then more importantly, what that leads to is no emergency savings. And if we've got one message, which is going to be our big message around Money Month in 2025, is that creating an emergency fund and holding it is probably the best thing you can do for yourself. It'll stop you trying to raid your KiwiSaver. It will stop you getting into really bad debt. You know, you need enough expenses put aside. Just put, you know, salt them away slowly. You don't have to do it all at once. But so when your car breaks that down and your fridge blows up or you're off work for a couple of months or whatever it is, you've just got that buffer. So I think that, which is connected to debt, of course, because it's hard to have an emergency fund if you've also got too much debt. Those would be the two mistakes we see people make, and that they're not paying attention to either of them. This is crucial.